Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you. I've got a friend with me in studio today. I'm excited to talk to my friend Tim Mahoney. He is a filmmaker, and he's got a brand new movie coming out in theaters next week. It's going to be in 700 theaters Monday and Wednesday, May 15th, and it's called Patterns of Evidence.
That's right. Journey to Mount Sinai, Part 2.
Yeah, welcome, Tim. First of all, in full disclosure, Tim and I went to high school, so I didn't give you a very nice introduction, did I, Tim?
No, it was great.
No credits, no nothing.
Hey, I don't need any credits. I'm fine. But we did go to high school together, and I remember seeing you often in the hall. Somehow, you were one of the cool kids, as I remember. I thought you were so cool.
Don't give Rosie that ammo.
Yeah. And I was just one of the nice kids.
You were so nice.
I was. Yeah, nice. I actually got voted most liked in ninth grade.
Why does that not surprise me?
I don't know.
And now you're a filmmaker, and tell me when this project started, The Patterns of Evidence.
I started to work on this project, believe it or not, in 2003. And some people would go, what took you so long? Well, I'd heard that there were people that were searching for the Exodus evidence. And they were searching for chariot wheels on the, coral-encrusted chariot wheels in the bottom of the Red Sea, and that there's evidence in Saudi Arabia. And I thought that was fascinating. And wouldn't that be exciting to, go be a part of that? And then I met this Swedish research scientist, Dr. Lennart Moller, and he wrote a book called The Exodus Case. And I got a hold of him and flew him to Minnesota. And we ended up, talking about this, and eventually we met more people, and I call them classically Exodus Explorers. And they're just regular people that started to search for the Bible and search for specifically evidence for the Exodus. And in 2003, a small group of us, with permission, were able to go into Saudi Arabia and go on a tour. So that's what we did, and May 1st was when we arrived, and everything was good for the first couple of days, until we got into these areas that were connected to the Bible, and that's when the local people, were really upset that we were there. The people from the government didn't know anything about this location potentially being connected to Moses and the Exodus.
Wow, so the locals were agitated that you were there. Why?
Well, they didn't feel that they didn't want to have foreigners in this area. They felt it was a special area.
What are you doing poking around and looking for the woods?
Right.
Was that pretty much it?
Exactly.
So they didn't say it that way, did they?
Well, they kind of did say it that
way.
I remember leaning against the Jeep. I can still see it. I got questioned. I got taken separated from the group because I was the guy with the camera.
Yeah.
And I did ask, could I bring a camera along? No problem. You can bring a camera, Okay, good. Can I bring two cameras along? No problem. So I brought two. And we ended up, we were filming, and I think they knew that I was there because I didn't look like your average cameraman. And I ended up, I was filming amazing stuff. And I had heard, now here's what some people might not know, is that years earlier, a person by the name of Ron Wyatt snuck into the country, and he got arrested, and he got held for 70 days, and he was accused of being an Israeli spy. And so that area got really hot and agitated, for people coming in. And then later on, another person by the name of Bob Cornuke and Larry Williams, they came in, and they snuck in, because no one could get permission to go there. And so this was the problem, is that when people, they said the Saudis are hiding something. They're hiding the Bible. And the archaeologists that I did talk with, they also had a sense that, a lot of people wanted to go to this area, and they couldn't. And some of you say, well, why this area? And what we know is that this is the land, the ancient land of Midian. And the Bible talks about Midian. That's where Moses fled to when he left Egypt. And there's archaeology that points to it. and there are connections to Jethro there. And this new movie coming out May 15th and 17th, I'm going to take you to the ancient land of Midian, and we're going to investigate three different Mount Sinai locations. And it's going to be a very immersive experience.
Tim Mahoney's my guest. He's a filmmaker. And again, like he just said, his new movie, Patterns of Evidence, is coming out. And now you say it's coming out in 700 theaters, May 15th and 17th. Explain that. What if I want to go on the 16th?
Well, you're just going to have to wait until the 17th because okay. It. And what it is I'm an approved Fathom a producer, which means that a number of the theatrical groups like AMC and other groups, Regal, they have a coalition of event cinemas. And this is considered an event. And what does that mean is it's not like the regular Hollywood movie. When you come to a Fathom event, you're going to come to an event. We've got a pre-show. Sometimes I have an intermission. I don't in this one, but I have the movie, which is 2 hours. And then afterwards, I have a post-treat. That I'm going to have in the film. Nice. And in that particular case, I've got the Israelites were supposed to come to this mountain to worship God. And as I was working on this film, I was going through a lot of hard times. I mean, you know, as a filmmaker, people look at you when you're, you know, in the showing the movie, but they don't realize all the stress and challenges that you have, you know, just trying to finish it. And just trying to figure out where's the money going to come from. And I started to have fear, just fear of the whole collapse of this endeavor. And I remember I went to a coffee shop, and there was a pastor there that I recognized. And he looked up at me. He's from the inner city. And he said, "How's it going, Tim?" And I said, "I don't even know where to begin." And he says, "You know what? You need to worship God." Hmm. He says, "You need to spend more time in worship. The type of work that you're doing, you've got to get deeper." And I went home and I talked to my wife about this. And I used, you know, I play guitar, and I got a guitar. and I said, "Let's sing some worship songs." And so for about an hour and a half, I found an old songbook and started singing. And you know, the presence of God came into my living room, and the things that I was afraid of. Just sort of diminished. And I remember this old song my mother was the pianist at our church, and there's a song called "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." Look full. I'm trying to remember all the words, but, you know, it says the things of this world will grow strangely dim, you know. And I believe that, so at the end of this movie, that's the special. I decided to get the guitar. So I got the guitar, and I asked a local choir here. And these are people who have been were in bondage to addiction, and now that by the power of the gospel, they've been freed. They join me at the end of this. That's our bonus. We're going to sing a couple of worship songs, just like the Israelites probably did at Mount Sinai.
Mm-hmm. So, Tim, let me ask, because we went to high school together, and I don't remember the class being taught on archaeology. I don't know who taught that. Was it Mr. Beaver?
No, he was. Wasn't he an art teacher?
He was an art teacher. Yeah.
Well, there's some art in archaeology.
Yeah, but where the interest? Where did you get an interest in archaeology? I mean,
it's
not a fascinating topic, but where did that start?
You know, I'll tell you what happened was the Civil War. For me, mm-hmm. I started finding books. I actually had a bad S. I had a lisp when I did. I did the Bugs Bunny or whatever, and I had to go to a special reading class. And once they get you in those reading classes, they never let you go. And so I started to do speed reading. They actually had a machine that would accelerate. And then I started to really enjoy reading. And I read every book on the Civil War in our high school. And then I started to notice that I was reading ahead in 11th grade. And I probably didn't mention this to many people, but I grew up in a broken home. And in fact, we just made a film that revealed that, which I wasn't planning on. But my father was a Minneapolis police officer, and later on he became a state highway patrol. But he had a really bad, unfortunate childhood, and he lost his mother, And then he was molested, and he went off to war later on. And he just had one tragedy after another in his life. And all that compounded into his life to the point where eventually my mother knew we had to flee for our own safety. And so some of you ask a couple questions like, well, why are you interested in archaeology, and why are you interested in the Bible? And the two come together in the sense that my mother put enormous confidence or trust that God's word was true, that he would, if you called upon him, that you could depend upon him to help, to rescue. And so when we landed in our neighborhood, which we grew up in Edina, we grew up in Morningside, you know, we were on welfare. And my mother, I think, got by on $400 a month, and that included the mortgage. And so, you know, garage sailing, she would pray. I used to tell this funny story. We would pray that the Lord would help us, and she'd go out garage sailing in Edina, which is a pretty good neighborhood to go. And I remember praying for some specific things, like chukka boots. Or, do you remember those chukka boots? They're kind of like desert boots or whatever. And yeah. I mean, they were like popular. And it was kind of the funny joke was my mom, I mean, I had faith, and when I came home, she had a pair. Yeah, but they were size 12. And I said, Mom, next time, let's also add the size.
So a couple of extra pairs of socks to get in. Yeah,
that's size right, yeah. I said, you know, I knew what they were long was when I went to walk in the hall one time when I was by my, you know, asked to go to the restroom or whatever, and I could hear them flapping like fins on the floor. That's when I knew that they were too long.
Funny. All right, so you had an interesting childhood. I did not know that part of your story, Tim.
Yeah.
I'm actually a little surprised you hear that.
We have made a movie called The Journey Home. This got made, and it's the backstory. And I wasn't planning on ever talking about this. I was very embarrassed by it.
Yeah.
I didn't want anyone to know. And I didn't. And there's another filmmaker by the name of Rick Altizer, and I said, Rick, I wanted to make a film about the making of Patterns of Evidence and how it all came about. And so he started asking questions, the same questions that you're asking, like, well, why are you so interested in the Bible? Mm-hmm. Why does it have to be true? And why do you think this is something you're supposed to be doing? And I went back to my family and my mother and the fact that we were literally on our knees praying to God for, you know, for safety. Because my father actually told my mother he had a bullet for her.
Oh, wow.
And so one day, my mother actually took. We had a special. She had. My dad had a special pistol, you know, that he kept in the dining room cabinet. And when things were getting really heated, she didn't know how to unload it. He was gone, and so she didn't know how to unload it. So she thought to give the family a running start, she would get on her knees out in the yard and fired it six times in the ground, and that was empty. That way, we could get a running start in case something happened. And so that was the kind of the forbidden secret of the family that we didn't talk to anybody about. So when we finally fled and we hid, we actually hid for weeks, you know, with relatives until things, and there's more in that movie. But so what happened was that Rick starts asking me these questions and, you know, I'm answering them and I start to cry. In fact, I start to weep. And for like 2 hours, I wept. And I thought, man, I'm glad I can never do that again. And you know, I was like, and then we went over there, and I had filmed an interview before with my wife and myself. I forgot to plug the mic in. So this two-hour interview with all of this deep sharing that I've never shared before was not recorded. But you know what? I think that was meant to be. And Rick said, Tim, trust me, it's going to be okay. Let's do it again. And then I was able to come back and share the journey home. And so I think that what's been interesting is that answers some of the questions about why I'm searching for some of this because of my own family's despair in trust in the Bible, the God of the Bible, mm-hmm. that he acts in history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so interesting. Tim Mahoney's my guest. He's a filmmaker. This brand new movie is coming out next week called Patterns of Evidence. It's going to be in 700 theaters across the U.S. And we're going to be taking a short break and coming back hearing more about the movie Patterns of Evidence with Tim Mahoney. We'll be right back.
Well, books take you on amazing adventures. Wouldn't it be interesting to see what the Holy Land might have looked like through the eyes of Jesus? By winning Max Lucado's new book, you can do that. It's called In the Footsteps of the Savior. Now, with a special thanks to Thomas Nelson Publishing, you can win a copy every day this month. All you have to do to enter to win on the Faith Radio app or go to myfaithradio.com. Personally, I'd rather win a trip to the Holy Land. I wouldn't have to go first class, but I would prefer. But either way, I'd love to get my hands on a copy of this book, and I know you would too. So head over to Faith Radio, myfaithradio.com, or the Faith Radio app.
Like music for Friday. Ready for the weekend? I'm with Tim Mahoney, my friend, and he is a filmmaker, and his brand new movie is called Patterns of Evidence. Now, Tim, before we get to the specific movie, which comes out next week, and I can't tell people fast enough to get ready to get tickets.
Yeah, they need to.
On the 15th and the 17th, right? It's an event in theaters.
Right, Fathom event. It's a Fathom event.
And explain what Fathom event means.
Fathom event is event-oriented cinema. Okay. So we have a pre-show, you know, that goes on before the event. It starts right on time.
Is that on the movie screen or is it a live?
Yeah, no, it's all on the movie screen.
Okay, good.
It's all pre-recorded.
Okay.
And we've got sponsors and we've got data and information engaging, you know, kind of while you're getting seated.
Yeah.
And then the movie is just, it starts right on time.
Okay.
So you don't want to think, oh, I'm going to come in 20 minutes late because you're going to miss it.
Right.
And, you know, these tickets are you know, pre-sold. So I know some of the theaters around here are already, you know, the tickets are sold.
Nice.
You've got to look, and you should buy now. Because if we know early, we'll open up more screens.
Nice.
And that's what we have to do. We have to let them know. And this film is going to take people to places they probably will never be. Never be able to go to, because not many people are going to go to Saudi Arabia or to, you know, to the Sinai or to the Negev of Israel. They're very difficult places to go. I'm going to take the audience on a journey, a cinematic journey, investigating the journey the Israelites took. And in some cases, you might actually be looking at the very mountains and scenes that the Israelites looked at. And that's why this is such a fascinating film. And in a patterns film, what the structure of it is, it's dramatic logic. So we ask, well, what does the biblical text say? A patterns of evidence film is a film that is based upon science. And so we're saying the scientific approach is to have a hypothesis. And that scientific approach, or the hypothesis, is that the Bible is a historical document. So then if it is, what are the events or what are the details of that event that we can look for? And that's where we find the pattern. And then I go investigate it against different mountains.
Mm-hmm. So, Tim, it sounds like you've got a lot of on-camera activity as well.
I do, yeah. Yes. I've been to a lot of these places. And
so you're the actor as well?
I am the spokesperson.
The spokesperson.
You're kind of going on a journey for me. Sometimes people say, well, Tim, who do you make these films for? And I said, well, first of all, I make them for me because I'm asking the question. And I think it probably has worked really well because some of the very questions that I'm asking are questions that a lot of people are asking, you know. Can I really trust this? You know, do I know? And I never had a problem with it before until people started telling me that they couldn't find any evidence. And that's when I came home the first time I was in Egypt in 2002. And I literally had a crisis of faith. And I think a lot of people have things in their own life right now. And they're wondering, is God really real? Is his word really true? And something might happen. A relationship breaks up or something happens to your family or you get sick. And, you know, for me, I was sitting in my edit suite. I've told this story many times. Looking at footage. I went to the very location. It was really tough to get there. To the location where the Israelites lived in Egypt. In the area called Goshen. And I went to the city. And they were digging there. And I asked this archaeologist, have you found evidence for the Exodus? And he said, so far, not. And I was like, what? I mean, I knew who he was. I knew Manfred Bitek, Austrian. Yeah. He had been digging there for a long time. And for him to tell me that there was no evidence, But here's something else. Later on, I found out there were political reasons why he had to be careful what he said on camera. Because to uncover evidence of the Israelites in Egypt at a very politically hot time was dangerous for him. Mm-hmm. And later on, 10 years later, by the way, I interviewed him again in Jerusalem, and he was showing me the evidence.
Okay.
But I didn't know that at the time, and I went home, and I sat and looked at this footage, and I said, God, you have to help me. And this thought came into my mind, and I felt like this cold chill came in the room and said, everything your family has believed is a lie. A belief about the Bible is a lie. And all of a sudden, this despair came over me. And I think a lot of us have had those moments where the enemy comes in and attacks us. And then another thought came in and said, stop editing. Get up. Go to your office. I want to go look at your bookcase. Read that book. And I pulled that book out. And there, it was the providence of God, because there was the entire dig site that I was looking at in the other room already documented in this book with a pattern of evidence showing Joseph and the arrival of Joseph, and they had a palace for Joseph. It was the whole story. Mm-hmm. And I said, I got to go to England and talk to this author. And that began the hope, and that began the turnaround. And it took me 12 years till I finally was able to finish that film. But today, it's just a powerful tool that encourages people.
Tim, let's go back to this gentleman that you were talking to about digging, and he said, haven't found anything. And where was this guy from again?
Austria.
Austria, and he didn't know the wink-wink principle?
No.
We haven't found any evidence? Wink-wink?
That's why I was so confused, because I thought, I thought he was finding evidence. But, you know, he had death threats.
Oh, sure.
And so he had to be, he was, you know, he was just being careful.
Yeah, I think probably the last thing you want to do is be stuck over there and be questioned or detained or anything like that. I mean, that thought must have been going in your mind as well.
Yeah, because I was stuck and detained a few times.
Were you?
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's scary. I mean, you know, you get close to saying, I want my mommy.
Yeah,
you know, where you're on the other far side of the world, and you're like, I'm concerned.
Yeah, and seeing how it's Mother's Day on Sunday, I think it's probably good.
That it would be saying, I want my mommy.
Yeah, we would both be saying it. Yeah. All right. Now I want to go through a lot of the details of the film, because I really want to get into the minds of listeners what they can be expecting, and just from a cinematography standpoint, are the shots and the views as spectacular as I think they are?
Well, of course.
I walked into that one, didn't I?
No. Yeah. Well, thank you for saying that. But yeah, our films, we really, really work hard at making them beautiful.
I bet.
Cinematically and then animation. We have recreations. We've got actors. I have Jordanian actors. I've got Egyptian actors. I've got Israeli. I mean, I've done an awful lot of work to retell the story. You're going to see manna falling from heaven. You're going to see water. You know, on the journey, there's a split rock, and water came from the rock. You're going to be seeing that. I'm going to show you locations that people are pointing to that says, this is the rock, this mammoth rock, where it's split. Where I'm going to show you animal sacrifice areas, and I'm going to also show you pillars that some people connect to the Bible.
All right, we're going to continue our discussion with Tim Mahoney. He's a filmmaker. Patterns of Evidence comes out next week on the 15th and the 17th. We'll be right back. Just climbed into your car. A great day, and we are talking to Tim Mahoney. He's a filmmaker. His new movie, Patterns of Evidence, comes out next week. It will be an event in 700 theaters across the country on the 15th and the 17th. It's probably best to try to pick up tickets online That's probably the best thing to do, right?
Well, to make sure you're going to get a seat, yes.
Exactly. Now, I want to take our listeners on a little bit of a journey. I know you've done a nice job describing what the movie is all about, but it's a two-hour event. Tell me what some of the highlights are going to be. What are some of the things that might surprise me without spilling too much of it?
Well, there's a pattern process that I take each mountain through, and I'm looking for the journey to the mountain. Can we find the campsites and the wildernesses? There were three wildernesses that were involved in a number of campsites, and those campsites had they had water. There were certain things that happened at those campsites. And so each of the people who I'm talking that are defending their mountains are going to basically explain the journey to the mountain and where the water came from and how the Israelites made it through the wilderness at this time. There's also the question of distance because, how far can people walk if they're walking in the desert, you know? But the Sinai Peninsula, by the way, is actually parts of it are very hard packed. It's not like, you know, the Sahara or whatever. Yeah, it's almost like concrete. Yeah, it's very, very, you know, hard. Mm-hmm. And people had trade routes where they were walking. And those trade routes were there because they were easier to go out through a trade route, and there were water destination points in between. But also the Bible says that there were points where there wasn't any water. So what you have to do is figure out the distance to each of these mountains, and what was the distance, and where would they have camped? That's just one step that we look at. The next one is the land of Midian. That is a question, where is Midian? Because when Moses fled from Egypt, he was actually heading to the land of Midian, and there he's at a well, and this well was an important area, and he meets a person's daughter, Jethro. And Jethro is, I think, like the sheik of the area. And he eventually Moses marries Jethro's daughter and lives and becomes a part of the family. And he starts to be a shepherd. And after 40 years, Moses encounters this burning bush. He had gone to the far side of a wilderness. So we've got journey, we've got the Midian, and we've got far side of a wilderness. So those are clues that we would look for. So the question then is, where is Midian? So I went to some of the top archaeologists that have been in Saudi Arabia, and we went to historical records, and I'm going to unfold and unpack all that for you in this film. I'm going to take you to those places and show you. You're going to be able to go to the Negev of Israel and see the wildernesses there, and you're going to look for, and we're going to actually show you, like, real artifacts, real archaeology. There's some inscriptions at some places that some people are saying this is the Ten Commandments, you know, inscribed on a rock. There are other inscriptions that are going to say this is bull worship, and this is showing us that the Israelites were there at the mountain and they're worshiping a bull, just like the Bible says. I'm going to show you an inscription that shows people like being stabbed with swords next to these bull inscriptions. And you say, well, what's the connection to that? Well, the Bible says that when Moses came down from the mountain and he saw that the Israelites were worshiping the golden calf, he told the Levites to go and get their swords and to kill the people who were worshiping. And 3,000 people were killed. Hmm. Now, guess what? One of these locations has a massive graveyard with about 13 football fields of graves.
Wow.
In the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, that might fill 3,000 bodies? Is that what you're saying, Tim?
Well, so that's what we're saying. I mean, that graveyard alone is amazing.
Wow.
So when you add pillars, inscriptions, you add altars, and there's an altar in Saudi Arabia that's very unusual. And Temple Grandin, I don't know if you remember her name, but she's autistic, and they made a movie about her. And her specialty is cattle movement and slaughtering. And so I went to Colorado, and I interviewed her. And I had her look at this altar just to say, hey, can you tell me, what do you think this is? And she says, this is the design that I would use if I was creating something to slaughter animals. And we know at the mountain there was sacrifices that were made. So Temple said, I can't say for sure what it is, but she says it's similar to a design that I would have done. Because animals want to turn and curve back. And so, you know, when you've got a lot of this archaeology that's been there, and it's pretty much been not touched. I mean, we're looking at stuff that's thousands of years old. And there's another part to this, which is the Exodus explorers, the people who have heard about this, and they have taken it upon themselves to go and try to get into those areas, photograph it. They're part of this investigation too. So I'm going to introduce you to those people.
Wow. Fascinating. So not only have you had incredible connections with people in this project, because I love the story of this woman in Colorado and some of the other archaeologists that you've come across, is you have put it all together in a two-hour journey for us to see some things we've never seen before and to go some places we've never gone before.
Absolutely.
To me, that is already, in my opinion, awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And we actually have nice music in the film, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Of course.
Was it you and your guitar?
Well, later. I come in with my guitar later. This, I think, is for people who this film can be seen by anybody. In other words, if you're a skeptic, I'm taking the scientific approach. So if you've got relatives or family members, or you've got a son or daughter that's just not so sure, take them to see this movie. Because, first of all, it's going to be very educational, but it's going to be very entertaining because of the mystery, the intrigue, the politics in it, and the personal testimonies. I mean, some people thought they were going to get shot, you know, when they're out there doing this. They were threatened that they'd get shot. And there's the biblical side of the story, there's the political side to the story, and then there's the historical and archaeological side to it. So it's really a rich investigation. And then there's the spiritual side of this. What does this mean for us today? And some of my people that I've interviewed are going to tell you what they think that means. And I think that, you know, why would this evidence be coming out now? And, you know, as I've thought and prayed about this, the Israelites were warned many times, do not forget what God did by bringing you up out of Egypt. I think that it's over 100 to 150 times throughout the scriptures. Don't forget what God did. Don't forget what God did. Don't forget what God did. And as I've been working on this, I'm like, well, why couldn't I have made this film? Because as we said before, May 15th, I came out of Saudi Arabia in 2002 or 2003, very sick. You know, I'd been there for 2 weeks. I ended up in a hospital, and I ended up very discouraged. You know, like I thought I was going to be making this film. I had all this great footage, and now I had nothing. And
why did you have nothing?
Because they took all the footage when I left the country. Because the people were afraid. It was too politically hot to basically to say that this might be connected. Fortunately, now that's changed, and it's opened up more. But I think that these biblical revisiting the fact that God has acted in history. I had one businessman, I showed him some of this, and he said, if this is true, it changes everything. Because we live like it's not true. And I think God is warning people. He's saying, you know what, my word is true. You need to pay attention to it. And I think about when I prayed about why am I doing this, you know, and sometimes you have to realize that when I'm making a film and it takes 12 years, you know, like year 8, year 9, year 10, you're really tired. And people go, oh, that's that guy who's making that movie. Yeah, I don't think it'll ever get made, but, you know, and you finally get to the place. But sometimes look at it and go, you know what, the movie came out at the perfect time. And God was working in my own life and teaching me how to make these films and giving me insights. So when I prayed about what is this all about, I'll just share this with you. And some people will understand what I'm saying. God is, I said, what is this about? And two words came, remembrance and forewarning.
No.
Remembrance and forewarning. God's word is true. And I think there's a number of patterns that we need to look at. And God is trying to say, remember and be forewarned. I am the God. And what we have today, I believe, is a lot of people don't believe it's true. And they're in somewhat doing things that they want to do. And they don't realize that there's a thought that comes to me because the law was given at Mount Sinai. And people don't realize this. But the law of nature, you can't really break it, you know. I mean, like gravity and those other things. But guess what, Bill? There are other laws. There are spiritual laws, And we are held accountable to those. Those are the laws of the universe. And they aren't all physical. Some of these laws are spiritual. They're moral. And we are bound to them. And as I look at the fact that the law was given at that time, and these covenants were made at that time, when these things are made, they're not like broken. God doesn't break his covenant. We break the covenant. And so there's a lot that's going on here that I'm still trying to unpack myself.
Yeah. You probably know the great quote by Cecil B. DeMille after making the Ten Commandments. Well, I don't know when he shot that, 1963? Something like that.
Yeah.
And he was not a Christian, but he said, you can't break the Ten Commandments. You can only break yourself against them.
I'll tell you something. I went and met with his granddaughter. And I spent, Joe and I, my wife and I spent 2 days at their house. And they brought to me, or she brought me, Cece brought to me the books that he used. And I could see his fingerprints on the stain, on the pages.
Really?
Yes. And so the DeMille family has been very helpful to me. Cece has been great. And yeah, you're right. The Ten Commandments. You know, those commandments, some people think that they take away freedom. Well, what they're meant to do is to protect us.
Yes.
So, you know, May 15th on Monday, May 17th, if people want to go to patternsofevidence.com, they can see a trailer. They can download the scorecard. I've got a Mount Sinai scorecard for people that are interested. That'll give them insight into what the investigation will be. It's an interactive investigation. And they can click on a link to purchase their tickets there, and it'll take them to the website for the theater.
Wow. Speaking of the Ten Commandments, I did a radio show in Chicago many years ago, and the guest after me was Charlton Heston. So I was sitting there doing my interview, and this large figure looms up to the window, and I look over, and it's Heston, and I just got real nervous real fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a legend of a guy.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And what a part. I don't know if you know this, but Cecil B. DeMille had a massive heart attack when he was making the Ten Commandments.
I didn't know that.
And he almost died, but his wife took over directing kind of as a surrogate, but no one really knew. She was like, they made it sound like he was just fine, but he tried to climb scaffolding to get a view of a shot. And at his age, he had a heart attack.
Wow. All right, Tim, that's absolutely fascinating. So when we come back, I want to hear a little bit more about this interactive card, and I also want to hear a little bit more when you said that your film was confiscated and that you came home sick and discouraged. So your film was confiscated, you came home sick, you were discouraged. So what film was used for this movie? That's my question when we come back. Tim Mahoney's my guest. PatternsOfEvidence.com. This movie, not to be missed, is coming out next Monday and Wednesday in 700 theaters across the U.S. Go online, check it out, look at the trailer, get your tickets. Be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. Hey, I'm Susie Larson. If you enjoy what you're finding here, consider subscribing to some of our other Faith Radio podcasts, like mine, for instance. You can search Susie Larson Live at myfaithradio.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. Hit subscribe and have a great day.
I'm back with my friend Tim Mahoney. We used to see each other in high school, said hi to each other in the halls. And now he's in my studio, and he's talking about his brand new movie coming out next week, Patterns of Evidence. And it's going to be in theaters on the 15th and the 17th. It's an event, so go to patternsofevidence.com. All right, Tim, right before we were breaking, I was inquiring as to if they confiscated your film. When you left Saudi Arabia, where do you get the footage to put on this movie that we're going to see next week?
Well, that's a great question, and I'm sure that people were wondering, yeah, how did you make this movie? And what happened was there's a sequence of events in the process of what God has put in my own life. And so after the 2003 you know, losing of the footage. I was focused. I knew that I was trying to capture as much information as I could about this Exodus route. And I ended up focusing on the time in Egypt first before I got to the time at the mountain. And that took me a while. But at the same time, I had an Exodus Explorer couple, Jim and Penny Caldwell, and they had gone into that location. Jim had worked in the oil industry, and they had taken a number of vacations when they heard about this mountain, this location. They have their own story there, where they would go with their home video camera. And I ended up purchasing their footage for this and then filming them and getting information that way. But what happened was that I then got busy with the first films. The Moses Controversy was the second one. Exodus was the first. Moses Controversy, which was about the writing of the Bible. And we found out that there are these... I don't know if anyone knows this, but you think, well, who developed the alphabet? And everyone thinks it's the Phoenicians. But actually, the alphabet began in Egypt. Somebody who was not an Egyptian modified hieroglyphs and turned them into a phonetic language. And it happens to be in the very same location that our first film was at the very same time. So there's a connection to what I believe is these early Hebrew people. That was the second film. So I wanted to build a case for the route of the Exodus, because I thought if I could clarify that Moses had the ability to write, and not only that, but the Israelites had the ability to read, which was what a lot of critics were saying, that Moses couldn't, you know, didn't write, and the Israelites couldn't read, but the Bible says that they could. So I started a logical progression of information from the Exodus, which we showed the evidence of Joseph and his family and the plagues and all of that, the conquest. Then we went to the writing. And now I'm on the journey, through the sea, and what sea locations were there, and was it miraculous or was it just natural? Does God perform miracles? That's that's the Red Sea Miracle 1 and 2 films. Now we're at the journey to the mountain, journey to Mount Sinai, which is a different kind of investigation. But then we're looking at, what mountain did we go to? And so that footage I started filming in 2002 to the traditional Mount Sinai. Uh-huh. And then I started other trips. I went to Har Karkum, which was in Israel. And then I would have some places were difficult to get to. So I'd have other cameramen go there and get me footage. Because some of them are, you have to get people within the country to go there because they won't allow foreigners there. So over the course of the last, 10 years for sure, we were able to get footage for all those locations. And then we were able to take and use special effects by working with Google Earth and like recreating the locations from because the mountains haven't changed. And then I can put scenes of the Israelites within them. So you can see them, the Israelites walking through valleys and in different places because of Google Earth animations.
Fascinating. I love technology when it works that way.
Yeah, when it works good.
When it works good, yeah. So, okay, that answers that question. Now, I'm interested in what's happened to you spiritually over the course of these last 12 years.
20.
That's what I meant, 20.
Yeah.
Thanks for correcting.
Yeah, no, that's okay.
Yeah.
What's happened is I think that I've become, I'm learning. I mean, I'm practicing. There is a pattern of evidence that God has, and what He's showing me is that God has revealed Himself to all. You know, He's revealed Himself in many different ways, and I think that one of the things is that for what I've learned is that God might place something in our hearts to do. And there's this verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, you know, for we are Christ's workmanship, and He's prepared good works for us to do before the beginning of creation. And you think, oh, really? My wife told me that. She was a Bible study fellowship. And I said, what? What does that verse say? He says, He's prepared good works for us to do. And I think the thing that I've been understanding about this is that there are things that God has prepared for each one of us. And we have to make a decision. Am I going to believe it or not? And you have to take these little steps forward with it. And if you've ever been around kids, which I have now 8 grandkids. And children, you know, when the Lord speaks to us, we're like His children, right? And when you speak to children, do they listen? You know, you say, hey, come on in now. Hey, I'm talking to you. You know, no, it's come over here. And then they run away. Sorry. That's my outside voice. Yeah. But anyway, what ends up happening is you just realize how disobedient children can be. How do you think God feels? He might say something to one of us like, hey, I want you to do something, you know, whatever that might be. And for anyone who's listening right now, what I would say is, you know, when we will stand before the Lord, we better ask him, okay, are there some things I was supposed to be doing? Remind me. I might have forgot. Maybe I was 30 years old, or maybe that was 5 years ago, or whatever. Because in my own case here, I'll share this other part to it, is that these good works are both external, and I think they're outside doing certain things, but then they're really close to home. And for me, I always felt like I wasn't there for my children as much as I should have, because I was working so hard to become a professional in media. And I asked my kids to forgive me. You know, I don't think that it was much of a big deal to them as it was to me, but I felt the burden. I felt like I had not been there as much. And I went to film college, not far from here, by the way. I went to 2 years to a Christian college, and then I went to this film school. And guess who I had in my class? His name was Billy Sunday. He was named after his great-grandfather, Billy Sunday, the evangelist. And I said, hey, we're in class and everything. I said, are you a Christian? And your family goes, no, none of us believe any of that stuff. And I when I did research, I found out that Billy Sunday had gone and all over the United States, he had all these crusades and all these people, you know, he was a former baseball player. But you know what? He lost his three sons because he wasn't there for them. And I'm like, so, you know, so there's this balance, right? We've got to be there for our family, but I also think that doesn't mean that we can just be, checked out. We can be anonymous or whatever. And I think that the thing that I'm learning is that I'm surprised of the projects I'm working on, and I just have to sort of relax and just say, okay, I'm going to have faith and take the next step. And I think that's what I'm learning with these different film projects is I don't always know how it's all going to end up. I just have to make the next step. Okay, Lord, I'm going to take this next step. And I think for people who are listening to say, they might be like, I always felt like I should write a book, or I should do this, or I should whatever that might be. Just take the next step or outline it. Find some other people. Pray about it. That's kind of what I've been learning.
I love the next step principle, Tim, because it is so true. And you're not going to have any progress of any kind unless you go out and have a small step of faith that turns into a small success or a small failure. Either one can teach us something.
Gravel pit. Let me just say that word, gravel pit. Well, what does that mean, Tim? Well, when Dr. Moeller...
What does gravel pit mean? I'm going to do the asking.
All right. You do the asking.
We're high school friends. Yes. All right, so what's gravel pit, Tim?
And when Dr. Leonard Moeller came from Sweden,
yeah,
and we were trying to figure out how to tell this story, I found a local gravel pit. And I filmed it, and I set up a tent and table, and it looked just like he was the right camera angles. And I made my first little film about the Exodus in a gravel pit here in Minnesota.
Wow.
A little step. Look for your gravel pit.
I like that. I like that. So it created this illusion that you were somewhere in the desert. Or...
Yeah, and it worked.
Yeah.
And that from that, I got the funding to go to Egypt.
Wow. Don't you love the way that God nuances everything? And now you've got your big film debuting next Monday and Wednesday, the 15th and the 17th of May at 700 theaters across the U.S., and it's called Patterns of Evidence. You can go to patternsofevidence.com and check out the trailer. You'll see, Tim, you must be in the trailer.
I'm in the trailer, yep. Yeah. Journey to Mount Sinai Part 2.
Journey to Mount Sinai Part 2. You can find that at Patterns of Evidence. All right, this has been so much fun, Tim, because, A, it's great to see you.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that piece of your high school story. It's very moving to hear.
Well, thank you. Yeah, the journey home. Yeah, sometimes we have to tell our own stories because, there's a season when the Lord will allow us to do that.
Yeah, so good. All right, well, blessings to you this weekend, and I'm excited for what's ahead for you next week with your movie, Patterns of Evidence. Tim Mahoney's been my guest. Patternsofevidence.com is where you can go learn about it. That wraps up our show for the week. Have a great weekend, everyone, and I'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.